Hello, we are Emma White
and David J. Lilly.
We're both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We're both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you right here.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or a creative type, or you spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkly chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Emma
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, Emma, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, my love?
Yeah, good. All right for a Monday morning-ish.
For a random Monday. I know. It's been a crazy ride, hasn't it? So it's lovely to have you here on the podcast. And it's just me today. So David and I are dividing and conquering. And I got you.
Yay. Girl day.
Girls. Yay.
Got coffee and cake.
I know, if only we could share a cake, that would make it even more perfect. So I was going to just ask you a few questions so that people can get to know you in a little bit more detail, because, you know, we would love to find out more about you. I'm sure lots of people would. Birmingham's finest, representing as you were on the telly. No pressure, mate.
For the Brummies.
Fab, lovely. So I wanted to just ask you a little bit about your kind of jewellery journey and how you got to, you know, where you are now. So firstly, I wanted to ask you where your love of jewellery was born from.
Jewellery, that's a weird one. That's for me, because I guess I've always loved creating and being creative, and I've loved objects that to me are really creative and expressive. So I guess loosely, that's what kind of like drew me in to jewellery. And I think it's a slow burner for me. Like I am a bit of a magpie for sure. You know, definitely would love to craft with all sorts of bits and bobs. But I guess actual jewellery, like we didn't have like much of it growing up.
Okay.
Like it would just be your super novelty items. And that's kind of like, I do like a bit of playful jewellery and something a little bit different. So maybe that's what kind of like the basis of why I love some of what I love with jewellery.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes you think, oh, did my mum and my gran wear jewellery? Not a lot. Like we're super practical women in our family, and sort of mainly got hands-on jobs. So a lot of the time, you know, we reserve something quite special. And my mum always had short hair, and like she always had like all these dangly earrings on. And like I think that's what people recognise about my mum. I love that about her, and I love it. Love that, like that kind of gave her that kind of side of her you could see, like a real playfulness.
It does. So you obviously, you said you were like, you know, you were always creative and kind of that love came first and then the jewellery kind of followed. So how did you learn to make jewellery? Where did that bit sort of slot into your path?
Well, I sort of taught myself as a little one. Beads and wire are like your gateway drug to the harder diamonds and gold. As a little one, we used to visit the bead shop when we went to see my nan, put things together for family and my mum and things like that. So that was always really good. But then later, as growing up, maybe after I did my fine art degree, I sort of taught myself. I managed to do some bits on the side. And again, they were like really crafty, really wire work, stuff like that. I managed to, from that, package myself and apply for a design space. And it was absolutely phenomenal because it really did nurture a lot of talent in the jewellery quarter. So I didn't know about the jewellery quarter until like after I did my degree, and I just found out that there was this whole place not far from where I lived, maybe like 35 minutes away, where all this jewellery happens. Never had a clue. But I applied for design space and managed to get a place, and that meant a free workshop for a year.
Wow, that's amazing support, isn't it?
Such a great opportunity. And I met, there were 9 other jewellers that were accepted into design space. So that meant I could literally sort of be let loose on them. So use that year to go in and teach myself how to work with precious metals and how to solder stuff together and how to do the rudimentaries. And then I'd look over shoulders and I'd be like, oh, that's amazing. How did you do that? So it's very much through like conversations and trying to shadow and getting books out. And it was kind of a little bit, it's probably maybe 13 or more years ago, maybe 14 years ago. So it's kind of like pre a lot of YouTube. So it was just...
And the community as well must have been lovely to actually just have those people around you.
And you know what? The more we've gone on in life, everyone has gone their different ways, but we've all kept in touch. We had some great opportunities, great mentoring. So I met Colette Ward B, who is...
I was talking about you to her the other day.
World. So like she mentored me and as well as Rita Patel and like, you know, just great, fabulous women that are creative and are so together business wise. It was just great to have those kind of influences to keep going.
Absolutely.
So I was also a portrait photographer and
I didn't know that.
But it was great. So I took photos of everyone there and tried to help them. And it was a great, it was a great time. It's quite a unique time.
Oh, that's really interesting. It's lovely. I love that you had that kind of support network around you and that it continues to be part of your life. That's really special. So how would you describe your style of jewellery that you make now?
I don't necessarily think that I've got like a set style. And if it is, it's just me putting more of one thing up.
I like that. I feel a little that way myself. I find it a really hard question to answer when people ask me, so apologies, I've just done it too.
Thanks mate. But no, I think what it is because I kind of like you know, I've always really been into art and fine art, and the way you derive a project is really through a concept, and it's kind of like driven by one theme, or it's driven by, you know, this concept. So I think that's kind of how I work, more like that. So I more do a series of items that are around something and then go on to another series. So I know I was asked this question before and I don't know whether I said that actually I think my style's a bit schizophrenic, which is probably not a good thing, but I do actually think that that is part of being like kind of engaged with a lot of different things. You know, I've had a lace range which is kind of a bit more bridal, and that kind of drew on like I got into my first shop doing some work tiaras, so that was really cool, and that's influenced a lot of that. So found items, found antique fabric, lace, that sort of thing. And yeah, so I think that it's quite nice to draw inspiration from everywhere, really. And then I've got some pieces that are a bit more sculptural, and that's more of the designer in me trying to kind of like have a play with forms and work up something interesting. So I think I find that a really fun way to work. So
Well, why does there have to be rules?
Absolutely.
The whole point of being creative is that we're blowing the rules out the water.
Definitely. And I think that's what's interesting, like with all the glitters, is like you can sort of see handwriting or something in the different challenges, but like it kind of gives you slightly different challenges each week to work with, which aren't kind of appeals to me.
And it pushes you out your comfort zone a little bit, which can be a really good thing as well.
Definitely.
Oh, fab. So how did you find the All That Glitters experience?
I expected it to be intense, and in a way I didn't want to break myself to make myself up but I always feel like, you know, when you kind of feel like you're a bit stagnant and you want a little something to get your teeth into.
Yeah,
so that's like why I applied, and I'm constantly saying to students, "Oh, take risks." I definitely think it was really interesting process. And of course, I'm sure you feel the same. It's complicated, I'd say, as a status update. But I think, you know, being part of the program was definitely like very beneficial.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. And I think, you know, there was things that maybe I knew a little bit about, but I didn't know a lot about. And then, you know, they kind of like, because I knew what I was going to have to do and how publicly and under the pressure of time, it's like you really get to grips with it. So, what was your favourite challenge from the show?
You know, like, I feel like I should be expected to say the hairpin challenge.
Oh, loved your hairpin.
Oh, because, like, it was, I guess, like, the most successful. And I did love it. Like, I guess what it made me think of was a bit of a theatre set with, like, stuff in the background, stuff in mm-hmm. the middle ground, stuff in the foreground. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the way it made me think about jewellery in that way. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really thought of that before. So I'm definitely going to take notes from that about how I could apply that mm-hmm. in other items. And as a little newbie fresh from uni, you know, I went to work for a tiara maker. And so I think all hair adornment and that sort of like almost costume sort of like element, theatricality, I really love as well. So mm-hmm. I mean, I think I'd be expected to say that, but I'm not gonna.
What are you gonna say?
Because I actually love the contemporary brooch.
I knew you were gonna say that one. I freaking love that brooch. I absolutely adored it.
Well, I'm gonna say that because I mean, I did actually think that I completely didn't really fully get the brief, or maybe the judges, who knows, or vice versa. It's okay too, because I kind of thought contemporary brooch. So mm-hmm. I sort of thought, right, take a brooch but make it super contemporary. Mm-hmm. I did actually have some initial ideas that I was thinking that were a little bit more like flouncy. So it's like feathers that went up and around the egg that were all mm-hmm. saw pierced, stuff like that. And I was like, man, it needs to be more modern, more clean, more. Mm-hmm. So I actually loved, the Birmingham brief and the brooch. And I still actually, I think maybe I like the brief more than the actual result.
No, the result was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. But I think I liked the brief so much. And what I liked about it is I didn't mind going out on that one because I actually pushed myself because I've done lots of bits and pieces that involve the library facade in Birmingham. So we've got this amazing, it looks kind of like a triple layered cake and it's got this really lacy facade of all these circles intertwined. Mm-hmm. Now that's taken from a nutmeg box, a silver one from the 1800s, and it had that sort of interlinked pattern mm-hmm. on the top, and Birmingham was known for its filigree. Mm-hmm. So I kind of love all of that and the way the architects sort of accessed that and brought it into the place where I live.
Yeah.
And I see it every day on my journey in. So, you know, I've made bits about almost like my commute into work. So it's like the library and various mm-hmm. elements. So I didn't want to draw on that because that'd be really obvious.
It's lovely though. You used that for your statement earring, didn't you? In the first episode, that was the part of that pattern was that. It's lovely.
So I love the fact that that one circle replicated makes marquise and then it makes a mm-hmm. diamond shape. And there's something mm-hmm. about it. Like as a technician, I've been doing samples mm-hmm. of that for like years for the students, like, oh, water jetted in this way, and like I've got all library facades everywhere around this joint, so it's interesting. But so, and I also thought about Spaghetti Junction and having that it almost articulate so it would spin, but uh-huh. went for the bowler. Love that blooming pigeon. Love the fact that it's a plucky little breed of
plucky
pigeon.
Bird, you know, colorful bird.
pigeons seem to be as common as muck, but I do love them. I love them. You know, you see those fellas everywhere, don't you? That lovely plumage that's got that kind of like oily green purple, I really wanted to look at in my brooch. Yeah. And I sort of tried to do that with the patination. I just love the fact that then it sort of goes on its trajectory, and it's one of the only like breeds of pigeon that kind of actually just kind of kamikaze. So it just drops from the air on purpose and it rolls and it just picks itself up just before it's going to crash land. And I just love that. And I love the Birmingham roller and I really wanted to try and represent it. And
are you the Birmingham roller, Bonnie? Are you the Birmingham roller? Is this what we're saying here? A plucky little bird.
I would love to be a Birmingham roller, definitely. Because, some of the city pigeons are a little bit mucky. A lot of them have 1 foot. I don't understand that.
I know, what is that about? Why do pigeons only have 1 foot?
They're city-wise, aren't they?
Maybe, maybe.
But yeah, so I did actually really appreciate that brief. And I think I would try and make something Birmingham-wise again. And I'd really like to almost remake it. I don't know how you feel about remakes, though. Because my initial thing, when you don't do well is to try and remake to do better. But I kind of said, well, no, just let go of all of it and just do something that you want to do going forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
apologize.
I know. Well, I mean, you know, we both had our ups and our downs, didn't we, in the show, and things that went down well, things that didn't go down so well and all that kind of stuff. But I think for me, I really quite perversely enjoy the criticism, and even sometimes if it's hard to hear, but because I think it sends you off on a pattern of thought. And I just think regardless of what the outcome of that conversation with yourself is, it's still useful to always have it. So for me, you know, I've kind of got pieces that I've taken from the show that I've made into collections, the ones that I felt I really resonated with. Not necessarily always the one that did really well, but just the ones that I felt a connection that kind of, I don't know, just think it's really useful to kind of always take into account other people's opinions, particularly the people's opinions that we're very privileged to receive, but equally to still be able to find your own path through that.
Yeah, and I think like it's a bit of a weird one, because like normally in jewelry you wouldn't get instant feedback like that. Like it is bonkers to have it like in both ways. Like it kind of impacts you in many ways. So but it's amazing. Like normally if you put a collection out there, maybe it didn't do so well and you're like, oh, maybe like people aren't, and people don't see what I see in it, and you know, maybe, and that sort of thing. Getting like instant feedback, it is amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, I did have that when I went to art college. Did you have that in your? We had critiques where we were like hauled over the coal by on every single decision that we'd made, design decision, technical decision. So that felt quite familiar to me. But
I guess so. Yeah, I've had a roast or two, definitely.
Yeah. And me too.
So I think in a way it does harden you up to it a little bit, but not really, you know, you still kind of takes you off guard sometimes. But I think it was really interesting, and in lots of ways it tells you more about the judges than you sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh really? You know, so it's a two-way process, I reckon, feedback. It's like
it's a conversation, isn't it? It's a conversation. For me, I think it was good, because sometimes I did something and I thought that was really obvious, and then actually from the feedback it maybe wasn't so obvious, and then that made me go back and think, oh, actually maybe it wasn't obvious enough. And so to even like, if you decide to go your own way, which is different maybe, then you've just got to even like push that even further.
I think like what you're talking about is like the language that you're using within your metalwork. Like you're probably really used to dealing with it in certain ways and thinking of it in certain ways, and then how it's received. Definitely, like you don't have that point of view, so it's really interesting having that different point of view to strengthen that language.
Yeah, exactly. So you've put it beautifully. So, you know, obviously we've already kind of talked about what we've learned and what we've taken away and how, you know, how we feel. Would you do it again?
Would I do it again? Is that the question?
Yeah, that's the question. Sorry, I've thrown you in a wild card.
Okay. You know something I don't? Are we having an All-Stars series?
Oh, I don't know. Wouldn't that be fab? Would you do it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would do it again, but I would have a look at the premise really and see if it was going to push me in the same way again. Because obviously if it's treading the same grounds, like you know, you try and drive forward. Yeah, if it was like very different, then probably. I did learn a lot from it. I did find it harder than I thought, like being away from my little daughter, things like that.
Yes.
And it was difficult, you know, juggling work and it. So yeah, I would probably take time to consider it though. It wouldn't be like
it's not a definite no.
I'm leave hanging a bit, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah.
Yeah. If the prod squad are listening, we're up for the conversation.
Is there prize money this time? Hello.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice. Mind you, neither of us would have got that anyway.
No, definitely not. But you know, you'd think there's like a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, something. But yeah, you definitely, you know, it would, yeah. Who wouldn't like a cash prize? So, but no, we did it for the respect and the actual kind of like endeavor, didn't we?
Yeah, for me, it was funny because it was actually more challenging. It was challenging in different ways to the ways that I'd anticipated. So, you know, the actual, the massive bonus for me was that I always considered myself to be creative, and I am creative, but actually what I've done for a long time is just made the same stuff over and over again. And actually going into that situation really pushed me creatively. And it reminded me that I'm actually quite a good designer, because, you know, like you with the whole imposter syndrome, you know, and a family life and all that stuff, you bumble along, you make your stuff, you do your orders, you go home, you feed your kids, you blah, blah, blah. And for me, it was a huge creative push, and I'm really grateful for that.
Definitely. And like, I think before the show, like I hadn't actually picked up my tools for like 9 years or something. Because after my MA, I said, well, yeah, I went into being a technician. So I've done that for like 9 years and been behind the scenes and pushed everyone out. And I just, at the start, I wanted a break. You know, you're not always like totally in love with jewelry. It can be very all encompassing, especially having a husband that's a jeweler as well. It's And sometimes, you know, it can really give you a headache. And so it was, for me, I guess it was good because I kind of was able to brush off my tools and maybe try and tackle a few demons. Like, you know, I should pick up my tools and I do want to make. It's just, I was a bit paralyzed by my own thoughts. I think you also feel this maybe, that sometimes, you know, a huge overthinker, you know, you're just like, oh, it's got to be brilliant if I make something, and it doesn't. It can be for fun. Yeah.
There's a lot to be learned in making something really badly.
But you know, like all of that experience, like if you give it time and context, is a good experience, because you go, oh, I made that badly, but like that's quite funky for a new design. I could, you know, a little happy accident there. Or but you do need to give it time, patience, effort, and you know, it is about that constantly chipping away at it. And it's a shame in lockdown I didn't go into jewellery, to be honest. I picked up my pencils and papers. I should have got onto the bench, Emma, and practiced more, really. We've got one bench at home. Chris was on, my husband, he was on the bench in lockdown while working from home, and I decided it'd be a bit cheaper and less of a fight just to get in my sketchbook. So I did actually loads of sketching, which is probably helpful for thinking about designs. Not so much for the prep of the show.
Yes, well, I mean, I don't know if you do you feel like this as well, that like when you know, you teach and a lot, and so do I know it's in different students and stuff, but you give a lot of yourself, and sometimes it's reminding to actually hold back a little bit of that for yourself.
Yeah, that's true. I also think it's like, it's super layered as well, isn't it? It's like, I kind of enjoy it because I get to support others and sort of give them a little bit of what I've found, but it's also not, isn't narcissistic, it's completely the opposite, but you know, in some ways it is, because then you actually understand you've got something to give, and you're like, oh, I know a few things, and like actually in that act of going, oh, here's a top tip, or maybe you could try it like this, you're actually understanding that, oh, I've actually learned a lot as well. And it kind of reinforces that actually you've learned a lot, and it's okay.
You know,
everyone. So I think, it's a funny one. I mean, here I help the students weld and braise.
That's
and like,
so
we do
cool. Can I come down and have a go?
Yeah, of course you can. It is a lot of fun, but it's definitely not small scale work.
Yeah.
You know, and for the show, like I really had to get my eyes in and my spidey senses back on track. I was like, oh, I need my glasses. And it's just like weird coming back to it after a break.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, definitely. And under the bright studio lights as well, sometimes my eyes were like pink by the end of the day because it was so bright.
I kind of like almost instantly forgot that we're filming, but then actually when I was soldering, I was like, oh, now I've melted it. Oh,
I'm filming.
Oh, maybe it's everything.
See, I was hyper aware that we were filming the whole time. I was always had my brain going a million to the dozen, thinking, oh my God, someone's watching me mess this up. Oh my God, someone's watching. You know what I mean? And like, even when something was going well, I'd be like, oh, amazing, I'm filming. And then I think, oh no, there's no cameras on me right now. Oh, never mind, I missed that bit.
But I think that what was really nice about all us jewellers going in is that, like, actually, we were all actually quite nervous. And even, you know, someone that seems really sort of confident, actually, you know, you get to see them at all sides, all times in the day. And you get to see that, oh, everyone is actually quite, like, vulnerable in lots of ways. And we are all there just to, as an act to be open and to be open to these challenges together.
Yeah,
and it was interesting to observe your behaviour, because it would be nervous, nervous, nervous as soon as you're in jewellery making. Like there was almost like, Really? You know, even though it seems like when the focus kicks in, it's like you can do something about this problem and, you know, it's happening. Whereas before, it's always a little bit tricky, like with all
terrifying.
Of these challenges.
Terrifying going in. I think for me, when something was going right, I was like, yeah, it's fine, I've got this. And then something would go wrong and I was just like, oh my God. And for me, my disasters were always right at the end of the challenges. So amazing. I had two massive disasters and they were, one was 2 minutes before the end and the other one was like 6 minutes before the end or something. So I always time mine like really badly.
Really, like beautifully for telly.
Yeah, like, great for drama.
Like, it was not.
You know, somebody said to me, was it a strategy to get more airtime? I was like, no, it bloody was not. It was not a strategy to get more airtime. I would much rather have not, you know, split that ring. But I'm glad it made good TV for you. Oh, funny.
Oh, yeah.
So what is next for Bonnie?
Okay. Well, we're actually like, we've been doing, looking into a shop. So we've actually been chipping away at a premise in the jewellery quarter.
Amazing.
So that should be properly open this weekend / next weekend.
Oh, amazing. Have you a name yet? Are you allowed to tell us where it is?
Yeah, so it's on Warstone Lane in the jewellery quarter. And basically it's me and my husband, two designers for the price of one, going in on a joint venture. Before the show, I'm not sure whether we could have done this because, you know, we didn't necessarily always agree with design and making and things like this. So, you know, we definitely have our own ideas. We both love jewellery. We both have our different sort of sensibilities with design and making. So the show kind of like really, well, we just had to like talk about jewellery. We had to very practically work together. You know, we're looking after the little one and things like that. So I think that has been a bit of a thing that we've worked on. And so it's culminating and it's getting together with a shop. Like, it's like the tiniest little shop you'll ever find. You know, it's probably not quite one in one out.
Jewelry. Don't need a lot
Absolutely.
Of space.
Absolutely. Only little things. So like,
have you got a name for it yet?
Yeah, so because I'm a Bonnie Styles married into the Hay family. So this is Hay Fine Jewellery. And basically my husband's in there full time at the moment and he's a fantastic goldsmith. I mean, he like, it's intimidating to go into the show, but also like my husband's like won multiple awards at the Goldsmiths Craft and Design.
Oh, wow.
And he's a diamond setter and he's done all these amazing things doing folk stuff. You know, all sorts of stuff.
You should be the dream team.
Oh, I hope so. It's really, really tricky, isn't it? And then personally, I'm trying to work on a few collaborations, which would be good.
Oh,
so
exciting.
I've got a few in the pipeline. Some are Birmingham based.
Nice.
I've got a real local theme and flavour. My main sort of source of communication is Instagram. So
So where can we find you on Instagram? Tell us your handle.
So Troubled Maker. Troubled _ maker. And then I've got a website which is Bonnie Hay Jewelry, and that's got a lot of rings that I've been forging up. So we've got loads of stuff happening. And I did almost, I might put myself up for a challenge of going for an award in January.
Do it.
So you know how like the Goldsmiths Craft and Design Award happens and it's January, your deadline. So I might try and give myself that deadline or I'll be early for next January.
Do it, baby.
Woo!
Sounds amazing.
So, well, it's so nice because as an offshoot from the show, like I think a lot of jewellers say, oh, you know, has it been good for you? You know, what's happening? And I just think like the most glorious things that have been happening are connections with really respected peers and other jewelers and silversmiths. And you know, we both went round Goldsmiths, didn't we, the other
week? Oh my goodness.
And it was so cool because like, you know, lots of people that I really admire and respect, I just normally be like, oh hi, yeah, like your work, brilliant, and try and find out little tidbits. But this time they were like, can I have a selfie? Come in. Oh, awesome. My daughter's watching you. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And it really like popped us into like cutting the initial hello, how are you?
Yeah.
And it got straight into the gritty.
I know.
It was brilliant.
I know. And a couple of people were like, a couple of the people who were visiting were really excited, weren't they? I found it a little overwhelming.
It was so cool.
There was like, some squealing.
Yeah, it was really cool. And like, you know, on both ends of the scale there, like squealing from us, squealing from them, because you know, it's a good thing to share, really. And
yeah, it was fab. I love Goldsmiths.
And it's a spirit of like throwing yourself out there, giving yourself a challenge. You know, I've made lots of little connections, and I've actually had a couple of messages from really, really very fine jewelers. Said, oh, I've seen you, and you know, one of them said, oh, I can see you've got a talent. I don't think it was fully explored on the show, but maybe that's not what it was about. and no, this is off a jeweler that I'm like, oh, they're the most amazing in the world. So, you know, it kind of like brings, I mean, to me, that's just fabulous.
It's lovely, because, and supportive, isn't it, really? Our community generally
supportive.
Is.
So supportive. And it is lovely to get that recognition. And obviously, it's been nice to get recognition from Sean and Dinny. Mm. And then there's another level of when you do something that the other jewelers like, you're like, now that's nice. That's a really nice compliment, because they know how difficult things are to make. And also, like, if you're a jeweler's jeweler, then super cool.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah, absolutely. It's been lovely. All the comments and the feedback and all of that stuff been really validating, hasn't it?
Yeah, because... definitely. And did you see on one of the Facebook groups that we're both on, Sisterhood of Jewelers, someone was posting, oh, I've had loads of sales of hairpins and requests.
Yes, I did notice that. That was fab. I know. We both commented on it, didn't we? So that's wonderful. Yeah, it is fab. I noticed that last year, you know, before, after. Wow. Response to series one, I had so many students come through the door saying to me, oh, you know, I watched this program and it's made me want to make jewelry. And at the time we were filming, and obviously I couldn't tell any of them, and I was like, oh, and they were all talking about it and analyzing it, and, you know, and discussing, you know, their opinions on the judges and the challenges and everything. And I was just absolutely biting my tongue in a puddle of nerves at the end of the bench.
I know, but like, what a knock-on effect. And then to be part be reconnecting with a lot of jewelers now, it's fantastic to then like comment on some of those things, because actually you were part of that process. And she's like, oh, it's great that like the hairpin's getting a bit of a renaissance. But I can't say that anyone has asked me to make one, but there you go.
I've been asked for a quote for mine.
For sales.
I know, I've been asked for a quote, but I mean, there's so much metal in it, it's quite heavy. I think it'll be quite expensive. But my friend did borrow one of mine to wear to a wedding, so it did get an outing, so that was quite nice.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it's a nice piece. It was a nice challenge, that, to be pushed to make something, you know, bigger scale and stuff. It was a lovely one. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And like such a crazy combination of the bespoke and it being a hairpin and things like that. Like you've got this massive story to tell and it's a hairpin. I think some of those like crazy things will really stay with me, because that's something like I wouldn't normally do.
No, I know. It's good. It's good to have your eyes open, doesn't it?
Definitely. But I think, like, I don't know about you, but like, I'm going to take away from the show, like, not the things that were aired, but all those clips that were on the cutting room floor. Like, I swear, I was so much funnier. I had loads of jokes.
You were dead funny on the show.
Like, I obviously thought, no, not the TV. Or they were like, nah. You know, and they're like, I said to the producer, there was loads of me and Catherine bantering, and I did this joke.
Like, the jokes got a bit rude though at some points. So I think maybe that's why
we're on the editing floor. And she was like, it can't all be the Bonnie show. I was like, well, you know, side series, come on.
It takes
two. I also have these memories like of teaching Catherine how to Vogue, because she was asking me like what I like to do in my spare time, things like that. And I was showing her how to Vogue, and she like pinged her earring and ring off right across the other side of the room, and it was hilarious. Some of these things are classic. I love them. So I think I'll take away the unseen moments probably a little bit more.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to you again, and long may it continue. And thank you so much for being part of the podcast. It's been fabulous. I'm sure David's gonna have loads of fun trying to edit us down.
The natterer and sorry, the other natterer.
The waffler, and well, what was it? Are we playing that drinking game again? The storyteller.
The
Birmingham Birdie.
Every time you hear storyteller and Emma, that's the classic combo. Have a shot.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
We'd be permanently drunk. Right then, my darling. I will catch up with you very, very soon. Thank you so much.
Nice to catch up.
And you. Bye bye, darling. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track of Topi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.